The following program has been furnished and paid for by Auto Pros Radio Show, and KSCV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered. Rolling up the doors, the garage is open, and here we go, the Auto Pros Radio Show. And now, here's Robert, Jody, and Lynn, the Auto Pros.
All right, welcome back to Auto Pros Radio Show. I'm Robert with Auto Tektronics, here with Mr. Jody Chesser today.
Yes, sir.
Lynn's taking the day off today. Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
We will help you out with your car questions and your car problems. And we did have one folks holding through the break. Let's go out to Missouri and talk to Paul. Paul, good morning. Welcome to the Auto Pros Radio Show.
Good morning, guys. I was reading the April Rock Auto newsletter.
Yes, sir.
Got an article here, desiccant and AC system maintenance. It goes on to talk about a desiccant bag.
Right.
Yeah, I never heard of that before. I was wondering if you guys could comment on it.
Yeah, it's basically like the dryer or accumulator. It's just the bag, and on most of these cars now, it's in a tube on the end of the condenser. And some of them you take the plug out of the end, and you can replace just the bag in it.
Okay.
It's just there to absorb moisture out of the system.
So it replaces the dryer?
Right. It's the same. It does the same thing.
That is the dryer, but yeah. It has a serviceable filter, if you will. Rather than used to, you had to replace the entire, metal housing and everything, and that desiccant bag was inside there. Well, now they've put these in the condensers in many cases, and there's just a plug in the bottom that you take out, and you can actually replace the bag because of moisture, or anytime you have metal in the system or you've had a leak in the system, you always want to replace that receiver dryer. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep.
But on that one, you're probably going to have to pull the condenser out to get to it.
Yep.
Are you having any AC issues, Paul?
No, my 2015 Hyundai Sonata, the AC works just fine. I just read this on Rock Auto, and I'm going, I never heard of that before.
Yep. You shouldn't need to replace it.
Yeah.
Like I said, unless you actually have an AC issue, or if you've had a Freon leak and allowed it, it's set for some time really low and allowed a lot of moisture in the system. But if, it's for the most part, it's pretty much sealed up. So you shouldn't have any issues needing to change it until you have an AC problem. Now, your cabin air filter, that's a different story. Behind the glove box, of course, you want to change that every couple of years.
Right. I'm very familiar with cabin air filter, change that all the time. But this desiccant bag, that was a new one on me. And so just wanted some information. So thank you very much.
All right, sir. We appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I tell you got to be careful, for a while there, when we were replacing condensers, especially in Honda CRVs for some reason, the replacement condenser would have fewer rows in it.
Right.
And then you would have this uncontrollable head pressure. You couldn't get it to work right.
Was it an OE part or aftermarket?
No, it was aftermarket part.
Yeah, the aftermarket. So yeah, we ran into a lot of issues with that. Yeah. Replacing condenser and it just won't cool properly. And you had to go with the OEM part.
Yeah, because now standard procedure is when we get even when we get an OE part, we always count the rows.
Yeah.
Make sure it's got just as many.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it'd make a difference, but it's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah, some of them would be... typically, it would be like 8 or 10 rows short. Wouldn't have as many.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, and it would, you just have like head pressure, 300, 350, and no matter what you did, it wouldn't come down.
Wow.
At first I was thinking, man, I must have overcharged it. So you'd do it again and get lower charge, By the time you got it so low that it wouldn't have high head pressure, it wouldn't cool. Yeah, wouldn't do anything, and
back to square one.
Yeah, I know it. And then I forget what tipped me off to it. I started comparing. I was like, heck, this thing's missing 10 tubes.
Yeah.
So then I bought one from Honda, and of course, it was the exact same amount. Put it in, everything was perfect. And I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, well, it's just That's the thing that sometimes people don't understand when we have a hard time figuring something out. Sometimes it's just a bad part,
mm-hmm.
and it's not something that's obvious, you know, that you can see.
That's when you learn by experience, and you know when a car comes in and you have to explain to a customer we have to use an OEM part. It may cost a little more, you know, but it's the only way that we're going to be able to make the system function correctly.
Yeah, but it was. Just some of those things like that, you know, when it comes to parts nowadays, I mean, you just – and even buying them from OEM, like I say nowadays, you can't trust that. You know, you got to verify, make sure it looks right.
Well, and they have suppliers too in many cases, you know, that make parts for whatever manufacturer there is. But give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. I know – you know, when it comes to AC systems, when you have a failure, in many cases you have to replace that condenser.
Oh yeah,
you just can't flush the metal out of them like you used to.
No, you can't. You can't flush a condenser. You can forget about that. And
have you found any that you can?
Man, like usually the only time I will reuse one and put a bag in it. Of course, most of the time to put a bag in, you got to pull the condenser out.
Right.
And by the time you pull the labor to pull the condenser out, it's only a few dollars more. Just go ahead and replace the whole condenser.
It's got the bag versus, and everything in it.
Yeah, it's got the bag and everything in it. And that way you get a fresh condenser, clean fins and everything. Because the only way I would ever entertain reusing one is if it was a variable displacement compressor and the solenoid just got stuck and wasn't pushing anymore. But if anything that shells or comes apart at all, forget it, it gets a condenser.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't – you know, you look at it and you go, well, it's got this tube, you know. Well, no, that tube – has eight more smaller tubes inside of it.
Yeah.
So if you try and flush it out, all it does is all the flush just goes to whatever tube doesn't have a restriction, and it flows through that one.
Yeah.
And because path
of least resistance.
That's right. And I mean those tubes are so small inside the other tubes. I mean they're tiny, and there's just no way you're gonna push all that through.
When you get a lot of metal in there, it's just nothing you can do with it.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know,
that's where the metal's gonna go.
Yeah, and it's kind of made like a radiator, you know. So like you have a tank on one end, it goes in, goes through all these tubes, and so if like the you know the top tubes are all clogged, it just goes down to the bottom and goes through the bottom tube. So you really don't flush nothing out.
Yeah. Now, several manufacturers have incorporated their transmission coolers into the condensers.
Yeah.
You know, and you run into that, and it gets pricey.
Yeah.
You know, because then you're not only are you having to replace the trans cooler, but now it's a condenser, so you have to evacuate, recharge the system.
Right.
And, you know, it turns into quite a bit more expense.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, like on some of those, too, when you buy a remanufactured transmission from a dealer or something, sometimes they'll say.
It's required.
Got to replace the cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are wondering, why am I putting the transmission in? Why are they having to pay for an evacuate and recharge in the AC system?
Yeah.
But that's just, I mean.
That's part of the repair.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they do that there again. I think going down the assembly line, they only have one thing to put in instead of two.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's.
Well, I know Ford and Chrysler, they pretty much require that you replace the cooler anytime that you have a transmission that's come apart, metal in the system.
Yeah.
You know, much like your AC system, same difference.
Yeah.
You know, because those tranny coolers are set up.
They are built the same way, like a what they call like a serpentine style.
You know, we used to flush all those out, but
yeah. When they had one great big tube that was the same tube from one end to the other, you know that you could flush that out, but nothing's been made like that in years.
Yeah.
You know?
And so. if you don't flush it out, or you know, say you put another remanufactured transmission in and you try to flush it, you don't get all that metal out. Well, you're going to cause a cooling restriction and overheat your transmission that you just replaced. It's not going to last long.
Yeah, that or you're going to recirculate metal back through it, you know. So it's a lot of that stuff that's hard to understand or, you know, or you watch something on YouTube. Some guys, you know, don't let them tell you got to replace your thing, you know. I mean, they don't know.
Well,
I mean,
again, you know, if you go on the Internet, it's true.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, don't be fooled. You know, I explained to a lot of my guys at work, too, you know, when they asked me about flushing versus replacing, I explained to them, you know, that because maybe they were advisors or, you know, whatnot. They're not as familiar with the system. And I say, anytime you have a transmission out, at least you're going to flush the cooler. But when it's had a major failure and a lot of metal, you're going to end up replacing the cooler. You know, and you have to for warranty purposes.
Oh, yeah. I always ask that every time. Do we got to replace the cooler? And some people, I think I checked on a Dodge transmission not too long ago, and I said, well, Do we got to replace the cooler? No. You sure? No. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's just like AC parts on Ford. I know whenever you buy a compressor from them, it has a label on the box that they require that you put a expansion valve and you put a condenser
and all that.
It's required, or else they're not. If it's not billed on the ticket, you're not going to get a part warranty.
Got to all be on the same receipt, man. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's just it's the way it is. I mean, and it used to never be like that. You know, and things have changed so much just by, you know, just like the way cars have changed, went from, you know, carburation to port injection to throttle body injection to direct injection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, warranties change and all that.
Yeah, and the manufacturers start seeing repeated part failure, and then they have to look back at the source. You know, why does this keep failing?
Right.
You know, why does this compressor keep failing? And then you're not putting condensers in because there's too much metal in it, and then it's causing the new compressor to fail.
I remember one time I had a guy bring a car in, and he was saying he'd been trying to fix his air conditioner. He couldn't get it to work. And he said, man, I've put 4 compressors on this car, and they just don't work. And I just put a new one on it, but I want you to see what's wrong with it. Man, I turned that thing on, and I mean that head pressure went right through the roof immediately.
Oh, wow.
Even though everything was working. And what he was doing was every time he put a compressor on, that compressor had oil in it. And he never flushed the system.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. It was so full of oil. I never seen so much oil in my life come out of an AC system.
Mm.
You know, and I was like, did you just bolt these all on? Yeah.
Well, you know, rule of thumb, anytime you put a compressor on, drain the oil.
Oh, I always do.
You know, measure it. Make sure, number one, it came with enough oil. Mm. Or, you know, you want to put the proper amount in there. Because, you know, they'll only take about 4 ounces or so.
Yeah, nowadays it's a lot less than it used to be.
Yeah.
Used to be 8-10 ounces in some of those systems, but now, like you say, it's only 4 or 3 ounces. It's not much. And anytime I get a new compressor, I always tell the guy, drain them, see how much is in it.
You can't trust whoever built the compressor that they did put on that. Maybe, you know, it fell over and leaked out or whatnot, and you just don't know.
Yeah, and because there's one thing you don't want to do is have to go back through a compressor again. I see, because, man, you got to start all over.
Yeah, you're starting fresh.
Especially if something goes wrong and it ruins the compressor, now you got to put another condenser in it.
That's right. Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Get you into Mr. Gary Knapp. We're running the 2-for-1 Robert Gruner special.
It's always the 2-for-1 special.
That's right. And, of course, again, we have the Longhorn Rod Run coming up April the 27th. Mm-hmm. We're going to be out there in Old Town Spring. Live from 10 to 4. We'll be doing the show from 10 to noon out there. Mm-hmm. And you can come out and come see us. We'd love to see you out there.
Let's run out and talk to Gordon out in Conroe. Gordon, you're on Auto Pros Radio.
Oh, afternoon. Appreciate y'all taking my call. I'll try to be concise about it.
Yes, sir.
Like I said, 2003 F-150 4.2 V6. According to the VIN on the thing, there's a VIN U for the transmission, which sent me a 4R70W. I've done checked it. But my thing is, I've got a pump whine coming out of this thing. I put it in the shop and it worked on the boys. Actually, broke the dipstick tube going for the transmission and did not refill the transmission for it to get back to me. I started up, found out, and killed it. I dropped the pan and looked inside the pan, and the magnet in there was like covered with fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt coming off the clutches. But I cleaned all that off, put it back together, and so far right now, it does not slip, it does not stall. The only thing is, I get a whine out of the pump. Now, being on a limited budget like that, I'm wondering if I pull the transmission code off the transmission itself, can I actually buy another pump and replace that pump and replace my torque converter, and naturally, I have to do the cooler also. But that should be able to get a little bit. $2,000 from the transmission. Pull in and install it. They're going to kill me.
Yeah, it can get expensive. So if that pump's coming apart, you know, inside there, of course, that's what's going to make your whining noise. And then any metal, of course, is going to be inside the torque converter, but it's also going to be, you know, throughout the transmission itself too.
Yep.
You know, if you're getting a lot of fine metal in there, because it's going to get in the servos and accumulators and inside the valve body and all that. So, you know, the proper way to do it would be either to replace or overhaul. You know, if you're getting a lot of metal inside there and that pump's coming apart, you know, you could try it, but you're probably going to end up having to go back in there.
How many miles are on it?
Right now, 200 and how many thousand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's done. I mean.
Yeah, it's just.
208,000.
Yeah, it's just time to either replace or overhaul that one. You know, to do it right, if you're going to keep the vehicle, that's the proper way to do it. Because I'm just afraid if you pulled it out. I mean, the pump itself is not going to be cheap, and neither is the torque converter. You know, depending on where you buy them from, you know, that pump's probably, I would say, it's got to be $500 or so plus. And then
it depends upon the pump. What I need to know is, off of the label plate on the transmission, will that give me the three-digit number that's on the front of that pump? We're going to have to pull a tranny to get to it.
No, you won't need the part number off the pump itself. They could actually just, you need your VIN number, and they might need that transmission code, that number on the label. They might need that, but that would be it.
Okay, reason is now I'm 68 years old. I'm on Social Security. That's all I got coming in. In a Biden economy, everything is already killing me. It'll be months to save up $2,000, and then it's going to be more than that for another training. I already know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to kill me, so I've got no choice but pull this thing myself, do it, put it back in. That's all I can do.
Yeah. I don't know. With that many miles on it, it's just you might be just wasting money, though. You know?
It might be, but then again, you know, I go to the store and back, and that's about the height of it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be extensive on the highway. You just don't have to have extensive mileage.
I mean, how loud is it whining or buzzing?
Well, it's right now I'm driving the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm inside of it right now. It's a little bit in low gear. But after a couple of seconds and it's driving overdrive, it pretty much hushes up.
Mm-hmm. What would you do, Jody? I think I'd just drive it.
So does it make a whining noise as you take off and then go away when it shifts gears and come back in another gear?
It does. No, when it downshifts, it doesn't tend to come back unless I go all the way back up down in low gear.
Yeah, because what you want to make sure of is that you don't have a planetary gear that's making noise inside there.
Yeah.
Because if you have a planetary coming apart, then that typically a planetary noise is going to change when it shifts. Like, right. Say when you take off in first gear, you're going to hear that whine, and then once it hits second, it totally gets quiet. Okay, and then it may come back in either third or fourth, depending on how everything's set up.
But after they did that by breaking my damper and dipstick tube, dump on transmission, put it in, it could be the planetary.
Yeah, because usually a pump will make noise all the time, you know.
Yeah, a pump whine just sitting there. As soon as you crank it up, you can hear it whine.
Well, I just took off in the thing right now. You can't even hear it over the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be tempted to just keep an eye on it instead of, because I think taking it apart and trying to put all that in there, you might get into bigger trouble.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because if you do that pump, then you're going to have to get the transmission out. You're going to have to stand it straight up and have, you know, hold it somehow. You're going to have to hold it straight up where you can unbolt that pump and pull it back out and drop the new one in. And, you know, it should come as an assembly, so everything would be lined up. Of course, you have a new O-ring on there, a gasket. You know, that's underneath the pump, and it's going to come with a front seal. And then, of course, you have to put the torque converter back in and make sure you get it seated all the way down inside those gears, too. And then put it back in there. But if you do have a planetary gear noise, then you're not solving anything by just replacing the pump.
Right.
Okay, if it is planetary, how long can I expect this thing to last? Is it just going to be raggedy from now on, or is it going to have, like, a limited tire life and die?
Well, it's just going to be limited because you're just going to keep putting metal inside there, and then eventually those planetaries will chew themselves up so bad, you know, it's just going to just get louder. Have you had anybody actually listen to that noise for you?
Well, my friend Mike, he's rebuilt his car and stuff like that. He's done it most of his life, and he's heard it and went, ooh.
You know, if you're in Conroe, have you heard of Evans Transmissions up there in Conroe?
Yep, I sure have, yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably go by there. They're good folks over there at Evans, and at least, you know, take it over there and, you know, take a test drive and let them listen to it and let them confirm, you know, hey, is it a pump noise or no, do we have a planetary noise? And it is, you know, something.
Did you hear that just time?
No, we couldn't.
No, you're not going to hear it over
there. Yeah, you're not going to hear it like that. But, you know, Evans will give you a good idea what's going to take place, and they might have a unit on the shelf that's a little more affordable. You know, being those 4R70Ws and those trannies, usually those tranny shops like that have their own that are already rebuilt and ready to go.
Yeah.
And they're pretty reasonable, so I'd go by Evans and talk to them.
I'll talk to them. I'll tell you, I appreciate your help on that.
All right, we're going to back out and take a quick break. Give us a call, 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSCV. You're listening to Auto Pros Radio Show on 700 KSCV The Voice. We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us this weekend on the Auto Pros Radio Show. Online, you can find us everywhere on Facebook at Auto Pros Radio. All of our shows, in case you missed one, and links to Auto Pros approved repair shops all over town, you can find it at autoprosradio.com. Shops you can trust are just a click away. You can always email us, info@autoprosradio.com, and be sure to tell your friends to tune in Saturday mornings, 10 to noon.
BG Products, the number one name in preventative maintenance. Carbon buildup in your engine will reduce your fuel economy, cause engine hesitation, rough idle, and excessive oil consumption. BG Products has you covered for all your fluid maintenance services and fuel system cleaning needs. They are so confident in the quality of their product, they back it up with a lifetime protection plan. All of our Auto Pros preferred service centers offer the BG services because they work. Find a list of preferred service centers at autoprosradio.com or go to bgfindashop.com to find a BG service center near you. That's BG Products, the number one name in preventative maintenance.
Auto Techtronics, your one-stop automotive service center. A family-owned and operated repair shop that has been in business for 40 years, serving the Katy, Texas, and surrounding areas, providing all types of mechanical and electrical automotive repair work for both import and domestic models with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Auto Techtronics also performs all the factory scheduled maintenance for your vehicle. Robert Gruner and his staff of technicians pride themselves on taking care of their customers and doing repairs right the first time. Located at 5330 East 5th Street in Old Katy, give them a call, 281-391-7617, and schedule an appointment today. That's 281-391-7617, Auto Techtronics in Katy.
Is your transmission slipping, jerking, or making funny noises? Well, let me recommend the great folks at Gary's Transmission Service. Whether you have a classic car or a late model vehicle, Gary's will diagnose your problem and let you know if it's a transmission problem or something else that makes it feel like a transmission problem. The experts at Gary's Transmissions are trained in today's most complex transmissions for both foreign and domestic. All transmission rebuilds come with a local 2-year, 24,000-mile parts and labor warranty, including annual preventive maintenance service at no charge during the warranty period. Quality transmission repairs done right. 281-347-8888. Gary's Transmission Service.
You don't have to look too far to find an honest, skilled, and friendly auto service center in your area. It's really simple. Just visit autoprosradio.com. All of the Auto Pros Radio's preferred service centers boast decades of experience and are dedicated to hiring, training, and keeping the most skilled automotive professionals in the industry and have a reputation for outstanding customer service. No matter where you are, go to autoprosradio.com to find a great automotive shop near you. Or check us out on Facebook at Auto Pros Radio.
And I haven't even saddled my pony yet. Have mercy, Miss Percy. I done put the coon tune on this bit. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Listening to Auto Pros Radio Show here on 700 KSV The Voice. I'm Robert with Auto Techtronics here with Mr. Jody Chesser.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
That's right.
Miss Lynn's got the day off.
That's right. She does. Wonder if she's up yet.
She probably is. She's probably listening, so we'll say hi to Miss Lynn out there.
Yeah.
Hope she got some rest and had a good time at her charity event last night. If you have a car question or car problem, give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. You can get by our website, autoprosradio.com. All of our preferred service centers are listed on there with all their contact information. And if you need some help, take your vehicle to one of the preferred service centers. Let them know that you heard about them on the Auto Pros Radio Show.
Yes, sir.
And we would appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely let them know that we referred you. That helps us out.
That's right. We have to have our sponsors. That's what helps keep us on the air.
No kid.
And a great producer like Mr.
Gary. That's right. Got to have somebody.
Keep me out of here.
Somebody, and got to have somebody at the controls.
That's right. Because I don't know how to operate that board back there. I know. I can overhaul a transmission, but I can't run that radio board back there.
Yeah, I know. Operating this phone over here, supposed to be able to do it, but I just, man, you know.
Gary is much better at it.
Yeah, I'd be dropping calls left and right, you know. Here, let's talk. Lost him there.
And then they change the phone on us. How about that?
Right.
Learn how to use the old one, and then they spring a new one on us.
Yep. But what is the most common thing y'all have y'all warranting out right now over there?
Man, we're still seeing a lot of engine issues with cam and lifters, like your GM and and a lot of cam phasers on the Ford. But
why can't they get the cam and lifter issue figured out?
I don't know. You would think there'd be better parts available or something.
I mean, it's been going on since 2007.
Yeah, you know, AFM lifters collapse and they'll eat a cam, and the Rams do it too. And, you know, Ram requires you to replace the engine.
Well,
they don't like to rebuild those because when there's metal in there on the oil control valve, they say replace the engine.
Well, somebody called me and said, I got a Ram, you know, and it's got like 240,000 on it, and it was tapping real loud. And I was like, number five or number seven cylinder? Oh, it's number five, you know. And I had it in another shop. They said you need to put a motor in. I'm like, they're right. No way with 200,000 you get to go in there. I think the only time we've done a Ram is we had one with like 85,000 on it that was making noise. And we put a cam and lifters in it.
Yeah, just really depends on how much metal's inside there.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you pull the heads and everything off, you got to decide, do I do a valve job on the heads while I got them off?
Yeah.
You know, do I put a cam in it?
I have an F-150 right now that has an oil consumption issue.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a technical service bulletin for the cylinder heads.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you have to replace the heads. And the time that you load all the parts for two cylinder heads and the labor to do that, it's over $12,000.
Oh, my God.
You might as well just put a motor
in
at that time.
Yeah.
Because chances are you're going to end up having other issues as well.
Especially if it's got miles on it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like that guy with the transmission, 240,000, 200,000 miles. I mean, man, you're going to take that thing out and stand it up, like you said. And, you know, there's going to be some debris in there, and it's going to get dislodged.
If you don't stand the transmission straight up and you pull the pump out, then your clutch packs and everything are going to come out with it, and you're going to end up having to put all that back together and make sure you get the bearings or the washers back in place, and, you know, it can turn into a big to-do. You know, if you don't have everything set back inside there properly, your clutch packs and everything, once you put that pump in there, you know, if you put it in a bind, it's done. You just tore up that brand new pump that you put in there. So a lot of factors that can go in there. If you're not really familiar with how to take a transmission apart or put it back together, you know, you can get in trouble pretty quick.
Yeah, I can remember when I was back in college, you know, you had to go through transmissions class and just doing a turbo 350.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, man, this is too much stuff.
It's a big puzzle, Robert. It's just a big puzzle.
A huge puzzle.
It really is.
All right, let's go ahead and talk to Ed and Tomball. Ed, you're on Auto Pros Radio.
Hey, nice to speak with you guys.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I've got a 2012 Toyota Tundra, 4.6 liter V8. It's got 113,000 miles on it. I've been retired for about 7 years, so I don't put a lot of miles on it. I want to know, let me just go through the things that have gone wrong with it, and you tell me if it's about average or it's out of average.
Okay.
First was the water pump, okay? Then the passenger side air injection system pump and the shutoff valve went out. And then the driver side shutoff valve on the air injection went out. And then my air conditioning system ate itself, for lack of a better term, and everything had to be replaced. You know, the pump and all those stuff that you get the crap in it and you've got to replace it. And I've also now the roof of the truck, it's been parked outside most of its life. And I've got the clear coat is peeling off on the top of the truck. You know, it's oxidized. It looks terrible. And I just, there hadn't been anything go wrong with the engine itself. Or the transmission.
Knock on wood.
Yes. And I have the oil change regularly in the air filters and the cabin air filter. But does that sound like a normal average amount of repair work?
I'll say the air injection system, yes. Had that on a lot of them.
Yeah, water pump, not water uncommon pump, with yep. the mileage. And yep. then of course, you know, if that's really the only failures that you've had, you've done really good, because Toyota's a great product, the Tundra is, and the engines and transmissions are almost bulletproof, you know, on those, and the differentials. But, you know, in the AC over time, you know, you lose a compressor and put metal in it. That's not really uncommon what you've had mm-hmm. to do to it.
Yeah, the factory did not put out a deal where they would pay for that air injection. And there's been, if you go on the internet, there's just thousands and thousands of people that have had that same problem.
Right. Yep.
And it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, usually when one comes in like that, even if it's just one of them that's went out, I usually replace it all at one time, because a lot of that labor overlaps to go back and do the other one.
Yeah, it does.
So.
Yeah, that's what I did the first time when the pump went out. The valve wasn't out, but it was recommended to change both of them together, and I did. But when the valve went out on the other side, that valve was just a part, was $367, and you can hold it in your hand.
Oh, yeah. Normally when it's pumps and valves, it's a couple grand just about when you add it all up.
Yeah, I just did a claim on one the other day, ended up buying all that on one. It wasn't cheap.
No, and what happens is that pump has a plastic impeller in it, and over time, you know, that when that thing spins up, those little impellers flex back and forth, and finally a piece will break off, and then it goes and gets lodged in a valve, and it holds the valve open, you know.
What's the reason that Toyota has such a better record on their engines than others, than Ford or GM? At least I think they do.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's due to just research and development.
Good engineering,
you know, good engineering.
Quality parts, and, you know, it's just.
Well, I know we had a 2003 Camry, uh-huh. and my daughter still has it. And I noticed that the commonality of parts, like the cruise control and the little stalk that you move your turn signals, they're exactly the same from the 2003 to the 2012. You can jump in any Toyota in that frame, and all the controls are, you don't have to relearn them. And I always thought that was smart to do.
But, absolutely.
Anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Ed. Have a good day.
Yeah, those air pumps, man. The first time I ran into one of those, guy had a check engine light on. He said, "Man, I ain't got any power."
Mm-hmm.
So I went and drove it, and I was like, "Boy, it is. It's underpowered." And I come back, I looked at it, because, well, it's an air pump code. That shouldn't cause a power problem, mm-hmm. you know. And then I got to reading about it, and it said that you know, anytime that air pump code comes on, it goes to 50% power.
Yeah, derates the engine.
Yeah, derates it to make you fix it, because otherwise nobody'd fix it.
That's right.
And so I cleared that code, and man, power back.
Power
back. You know,
until the code returns.
Yeah, and then I parked it, let it set long enough that it cooled down enough for that air pump to kick back on, and then boom, code again, right away.
That's right.
But it cuts 50% power. You know, so
there was never a recall or anything, you know, for that system, because it's not safety related, if you will.
Yeah, it's usually always, only way they're going to do a recall is if it's some kind of safety item, you know. But, you know, everybody thinks that if they have a common, you know, unless they really, you know, like some of the, like you think they're going to come out with something on that EcoBoost with that belt and all that, that they're going
to. Well, that's supposed to be coming this month sometime.
Is it?
Yeah, on the 1 liter Ford engine, they're going to replace the belt and the tensioner and the guides, everything that's in there, you know, whatever can break, but they're putting that, it's not a recall that's in effect yet, but it should be happening here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because once those oil pump drive belts fail, lose oil pressure, that engine is done.
Yeah.
You pull an oil pan off and you're just nothing but pieces inside there.
Yeah.
You know, the motor itself's not very expensive, but it's still, you know, it's still not a cheap repair.
It's the way motor.
One little 1 liter engine.
Hey, a three-cylinder? Hey, three-cylinder?
Yeah, three-cylinder. And you can buy a short block and replace it, but for $150 more, you can get a complete long block.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, heck.
Yeah, the head's really expensive. But give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Help you out with your car questions and car problems.
back out here and take our last break. So give us a call, 281-558-5738. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Are you needing to have your vehicle's scheduled maintenance performed or mechanical repairs done? Don't wait. Go to autoprosradio.com, see all of our recommended preferred service centers in your area, and give them a call today to schedule an appointment to have your vehicle serviced and have that peace of mind your vehicle will be safe. And remember to tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday, 10 to noon, here on AM 700 KSEV.
David's Auto Central in Stafford has been performing quality automotive service and preventive maintenance for over 35 years. Their technicians are ASC certified and trained to handle all your automotive needs. From air conditioning, brakes, electrical repairs, diagnostic service, engine repairs, and much more. Let the fine folks at David's Auto Central take care of your automotive needs. Located at 2526 Fifth Street in Stafford. That's 281-499-9684. That's 281-499-9684. David's Auto Central.
Beckwith Car Care has been servicing the Umbaugh, Atascocita, and surrounding areas for more than 35 years. You don't stay in business that long without providing great customer service and repairs done right the first time. Beckwith has factory-trained technicians that know how to diagnose and repair your vehicle. They provide a nationwide 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty, free shuttle service to work, home, or play. They also can arrange to pick up your vehicle if needed. Visit Beckwith.com and schedule an online appointment today to have your vehicle repaired or maintenance services performed. Give them a call, 281-540-2000. That's 281-540-2000. Beckwith Car Care.
Green and White Automotive has been servicing Spring and surrounding areas since 1977. Their ASC certified technicians will diagnose and repair both import and domestic vehicles and back those repairs with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Now that is peace of mind. Do you have a diesel truck? No problem. Green and White Automotive is your local diesel expert. They understand your time is valuable and will get you back on the road in a timely manner. And they also have a free shuttle service to work or home. Automotive repair and maintenance service, all at a fair price. Give them a call today, 281-353-7682. That's Green and White Automotive, 281-353-7682.
Hey, this is Robert. Thank you for tuning in to Auto Pros Radio. If you need us during the week, email us at info@autoprosradio.com. You can listen to all of our episodes by going to autoprosradio.com, and you can find a list of our approved shops located all around Houston and surrounding areas. And don't forget to tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday from 10 to noon on KSEV.
Welcome back to the Auto Pros Radio Show. I'm Jody Chesser, your diesel dynamo and warranty wizard, along with Mr. Robert Grinder with Auto Tektronics.
Yes, sir.
And Ms. Lynn Beckwith has a day off, and we are here to help you out with your car questions or car problems. Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. It's the last segment of the show. We're running on empty.
Running on empty.
Time to get in. Let's run out to the heights and say good morning to Steve. Steve, you're on with the Auto Pros. How can we help?
Yes, I wanted to ask y'all, I have a 91 Chevrolet, and I want to convert the R12 to 134A.
Mm-hmm.
First question I want to ask you, the manufacturer Four Seasons, is that a pretty good brand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
That's all right.
Okay, and then the next question, the on the R12, to fill up the system is like a 2.5 pounds, which converts to about 40 ounces. Do you go in this with the same amount with 134A when you make that conversion?
Usually you do 80%. You start out at 80% of it.
Okay, all right.
And then you adjust from there.
Okay. And then I was listening to you earlier. You said that just don't even try to flush out a condenser. You know, just go ahead and get a brand new one.
Yeah, I would put a new one in also just because the newer design, like the one that's in there right now, might just be a single tube that runs back and forth through there mm-hmm. on a 91. Okay. And then anything aftermarket's going to be one of the newer designs where it's more efficient, okay. You know.
Then the other thing I want to ask you, I think it was in 93 on the Chevrolets, on the trucks, they started putting, you know, the 134A.
Yes, sir.
Will the condenser on a 93 be the same as on the 91, where I could just step up and get the condenser designed to hold the 134A?
Well, if you buy a condenser for your 91, it's going to be a 134A style condenser. You're not.
Okay.
It's not going to be one of the old ones,
right?
Okay. All right. Okay, I appreciate it very much.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Yeah, the capacity, you know, on the 134A is less than what they ran on the R12, so you don't want to overcharge the system. So, like you said, to start 80% and then look at your pressures and make sure you're cooling right.
All right. Let's go out and talk to Victor. Victor, you're on AutoPros Radio.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I own a 2020 Ford Miramar motorhome, and it's on a 350 Ford chassis.
Yes, sir.
My question is, when you accelerate, the thing is so loud. What is it? Is it the motor? Is it the exhaust or what? Why are they so loud?
Which engine's in that one?
350 Ford.
No, but I mean, what's it got, a diesel engine, gas engine?
No, it's gas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got like
if it sounds like a roaring noise or a jet airplane, it sounds like your fan clutch is what's making noise.
Yep.
And it's new, the fan clutch, huh?
Mm-hmm. Is this got a V10 in it?
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what they put in most of those chassis like that. So if you're driving down the road, everything sounds okay, but when you really go into accelerator or whatnot, you get pretty loud roaring noise.
Yeah, it's a horrible sound. Yeah. And I don't remember having that in my other motorhomes.
Yeah, I would check the fan clutch, because usually when a fan clutch goes out or gets locked up, I mean, it sounds like an airplane taking off.
I have one other question. Mm-hmm. Y'all guys remember the 2007 Pontiac Solstice cars?
Yes.
Yes. Uh huh.
Why aren't they on the road? I owned two of them years ago. Was there something wrong with the engines or what?
No, I mean, I just think it just wasn't a popular seller, you know, and they're not going to keep selling them if they,
well,
and then Pontiac, they keep making them.
Pontiac went away.
And Pontiac went away, you know. Pontiac ain't even around anymore.
They did. And listen, thanks a lot. I appreciate the answer on right. the fan clutch.
Sure.
All right, Victor, good luck with that. Hope that helps you out. All right, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's run out to spring and say hi to Mike. Mike, you're on with the Auto Pros. Good morning.
Hello, guys.
Yes, sir.
When I step on my brake pedal, a white light appears on the dash cluster. When I let off on the brake pedal, it goes away.
And does it say something, or is it just a white area?
Just a white. I guess it's like a warning light, maybe. I don't know. It's never happened before since I've had the car.
And it's just white, nothing else.
No, sir.
Where is it on the instrument cluster, roughly?
Next to the speedometer or the tach, or?
I really don't know. I know it's to the right.
Let me ask you this. If you're sitting still in park, and let's say you apply your parking brake, do you still get a red brake light?
I haven't used it.
Well, I would check to make sure that doesn't turn on, that white light, because I'm thinking, you know, when you accelerate or something like that, when your brake fluid level's low, it'll sway to one side and make the red brake light come on, you know? And so that's what I'm saying. Make sure that that something hadn't happened and the color's gone in the warning area. And that, so try putting on your parking brake and see, does it still have a red brake light or does it turn on that white light?
Okay.
You know, because typically when you got a light that comes on like that, when you're accelerating or turning or something like that, a lot of times it's the red brake light because the fluid level's right at that level where it cuts that light on and it's just sloshing to one side or the other, making it turn on.
So you don't think that's a... I might be low or...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It gets so low that I would... You know, that got kind of confirmed to me that it's the brake light that's
coming
on.
Yeah, I need
to
say what the function of that is. If you're not sure, you're in Spring. You can go by Green and White Automotive. They're just east of 45 on Spring Cypress.
Yep.
And you can go by there and talk to Joel or one of the folks over there and show them what it's doing. And then that way they can kind of put their eyes on it and figure out what kind of light that is and why it's only white.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, because you should either have red or amber.
Yeah, red,
you know,
or amber.
Greens,
just about,
like your turn signals, so forth and so on.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of odd myself.
It is. I've never seen that.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know.
Like I say, when I let off, it goes away.
Yeah. I would take it by Green and White over there and just show it to them. They'll take a look at it.
You can always check your brake fluid. Mm-hmm. Or like Robert said, apply that parking brake and just see if that same light illuminates when you pull up on the parking brake. Then you'll know it is the red brake light.
There's not a special brake fluid I have to use, is there?
No.
Just a .3, .4.
Yeah, just plain old brake fluid.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But if you...
taking my call, guys, and have a good day.
All right. Mike, thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Bye.
Yeah, but if you're low on brake fluid, you got two things. You got a leak, or your pads are really
worn down. That's right.
And all the fluid's down the calipers and so forth.
Yeah, because as the pads wear, the fluid takes up space.
That's right. We have time for another caller, too. 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Talking about the motorhome earlier with the fan clutches. You're going to start hearing noisy fan clutches, especially when people get out on the road and the temperature is warming up. And, yeah, those things, they'll sound like a jet airplane.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you can open the hood. Sometimes you should be able to turn the fan with the engine off, of course.
Yeah.
You know, turn that fan, but sometimes you can't turn it.
Yeah, it's
locked
up. Or
it'll be real stiff and dragging like that.
Yeah, I know when I had a little accident in my old Chevy truck I had a long time ago. They had to replace the fan clutch when they were doing all the repairs.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, did you put a Delco fan clutch back on there? Yeah, put a Delco on there.
No.
Man, I hopped in that truck, started driving immediately. Because you could always get those aftermarket ones, and they'd roar like crazy.
That was the problem with it. Yeah, we just couldn't. I haven't really found an aftermarket fan clutch that is quiet.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I think because they try and make, you know, one part number fit so many different models.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you, I know, like on mine, if you called the dealer, I mean, if you had a certain rear gear ratio, it took one fan clutch. You had another, it took another fan clutch. There was like five or six different part numbers for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because that, people don't realize that rear end, depending on what it is, it could turn that engine at different RPM. That clutch has got to be set different for it, you know.
Yeah, it can't just be universal.
No, I hopped in it, and it was roaring like crazy. You sure? This thing sure roars. Oh, no, we put old Riley's in there.
Yeah, I used to get complaints about my transmission's not shifting. And, you know, it's always when you step down on it, like pass somebody or whatnot.
Yeah.
And it just starts roaring. And they think it's a transmission or something. Yep. Needs a fan clutch.
Yep. Oh,
which
know.
Is a lot cheaper than a transmission.
Right.
That's always a good thing.
Quite a bit.
You know, you were asking about common things that we see, you know, taking claims during the week. Man, I've seen so much issues with these 10-speed transmissions.
Which whose?
Well, mostly the Ford, they just have a lot of issues with their CDF clutch, the internal clutch housing in there getting scored and loses pressure. And these things either burn up or they'll shift hard, slip, you name it. And, I mean, even the Super Duties I've seen, the 2020s like you had.
Yeah.
And the big trucks, the same thing.
Yeah.
Seen that problem. It's been a big to-do with them.
Oh, you know, when we were doing that 3-liter and we put all the injectors in, had to put in the QAI code or whatever, IQA, injector quantity adjustment code.
Right.
And, man, some of them, you know, most of the time when I've done them on other ones, it's like a 6- or 7-digit number.
Right.
Not these, 20 digits.
Wow, each.
20
wow.
digits each, man. So what we did was we took an injector and I wrote next to it, number one, I took a picture. I got number two, took a picture. So then I said, put these in these cylinders. So then I just went back through my pictures programming them way at top. You know?
That's what you have to do because you put them in there and then it's like, where are they at?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is under
this on the injector.
Yeah, yeah, and the there's like a sound deadening thing that goes over the top, and it's real hard to get out. So.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Just run out and talk to John and Tomball. John, you're up.
Okay, buddy, I'm the guy with the carburetor problem. I got that 8% cured.
Yes,
sir. Is it okay on my 1980 351 Ford? I've been using 1030. Is it okay to, when it gets low, to put a little heavier oil in it? Is that okay?
Like how heavy?
Well, all I could get was a 2050, about a fourth of a quart at a time when it gets low.
Yeah, how many miles did it have on it?
175,000.
Probably. I mean, on that old of an engine, you shouldn't have an issue at all.
Shouldn't have an
we
issue.
Don't recommend that on newer engines just because the tolerances are
a lot tighter.
They're tighter in the variable valve timing, but on yours, you know, at least you still have the old school type engines, we call it, and you could run a heavier oil that way.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right.
All right, John.
You.
Have a good day. Appreciate the call.
I remember I had a 89 Mustang, and I'd put 1030 was the common oil.
Oh, yeah.
And one time I did an oil change, going, man, I can put some 2050 in it. And I started that thing the next morning, and that thing rattled.
I bet it did.
No, it did with that 2050 in there.
A little too heavy.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, I got to drain that out. You know.
Well, I remember way back when it used to run like a 1030 or straight 30s.
Yeah.
And then in summer times, people bumping up to 40, 40 weights and so forth. Now, you don't, if whatever the oil says on the oil filler cap, that's the weight that you want to use. I don't care if it's a 0/20, a 5/20. That's what that engine is designed for. And don't stray because it's going to end up giving you timing issues and so forth.
Yeah, because that the diesel took a 0/20.
Yeah.
Now I was kind of surprised because at first I was like, we're probably just put Rotella back in it. And then the guy looked at the cap and goes, this says 0/20 on the cap. I'm like, you kidding me? No. I went and looked it up. Yeah, it takes Dexo 0/20.
You just put 1540 back, you know, on all the power
diesels,
strokes and everything.
Yeah.
That's and then they had 540 on the full synthetic.
Yeah.
And now, they're 1030s, 0/20s.
Yeah.
They've changed a lot.
Yeah, and the actual GM Dexo oil was fairly reasonable price-wise.
That's good.
You know, but I was kind of surprised it was 0/20 in that diesel.
Yeah,
it was kind of like
they've tightened them up.
Yeah, you know that the Eco Diesel, the Dodge one.
Mm-hmm.
You know they had came out with I think they were running a lightweight oil, and they ended up putting something heavier. Had a service bolt about putting it heavier back in it
because they were heavier oil.
They were blowing out rod bearings.
Yeah, they had rod bearing issues on the earlier ones. They would fail.
Yeah.
And boy, you talk about an expensive engine. Those things are expensive when they go out. Just like the Titan diesel, the 5.7 they had with Cummins.
Yeah.
Those things go out. It's almost 20 grand.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show here. Appreciate everybody giving us a call. And be sure and go out and show some love to our sponsors. Get your BG flushes done. Get ready for the summer.
That's right. It's coming around the corner. Be here before we know it.
Thanks for listening to Auto Pros Radio Show. We'll be here next week. See you later.
Thanks for listening to the Auto Pros Radio Show. Hey, if you need help during the week, go to our website, autoprosradio.com. Or if you need your car serviced, see all of our recommended preferred service centers in your area. Check out our Facebook page at autoprosradio.com for the latest posts on what's going on in the automotive industry. Share a comment with us and tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday, 10 to noon, here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.